2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
So let's go into visions. The idea of visions for us as believers did not originate with Paul. It did not originate with Peter. In fact, at some point, Jesus said, after he had sent his disciples out to preach, and they came back with testimonies, our Lord Jesus said, "For behold, I saw Satan falling down like a flash of lightning." All right, when I look at that scripture, I'm not just thinking that it was just a flash of lightning. I'm thinking that he had the vision like in a flash. Are you here now? Like he had the vision in a flash. All right. So Jesus was given to visions. All right. Jesus is the master prophet. He is the one who occupies the office of the prophet in his full measure. So you in the New Testament, you cannot be more prophetic than Jesus Christ. Forget about those telling you the kind of wristwatch you are wearing and all those things. But those are still the baby levels of prophecy. All right, don't be mesmerized by somebody who is telling what you had yesterday. Those things are okay, but they are the baby levels. When the prophetic gets into the height of his operation, it reveals Christ. Hallelujah. It reveals Christ. And this is very foundational. You should really get it because it can be the difference between success and failure. So Jesus was given to visions. The apostles of old were given to visions. The prophets of old, the Old Testament, were given to visions. A lot of believers today are scared of visions. They are scared. Some people say, "Pastor, I want to know what God is saying." But somewhere in their mind, they are actually scared. All right? But look at the book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And the Spirit of God was speaking and he said that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That means God's Spirit has capacity to immerse the whole earth. God's Spirit has such capacity to fill everybody at once. You know, but is that the case today? No, that's not really the case. All right. He said that my sons and my daughters, they will prophesy. That my young men and young women, they are going to see visions. My old men, they are going to dream dreams. Now you look at these three spiritual skill set. Two out of them are sight gifts. They involve seeing. One of them is an utterance gift. And that is significant. That God expects us to see more than we see. Come on, is somebody here now? God expects us to see more. It's going to give the church the ability to see. We are going to do a lot of seeing, both in visions and in dreams. We are going to be seeing a lot. It's going to be giving us regular updates. I remember I was listening to one of God's servants. You know, he's from Maiduguri, and he used to be a Muslim fanatic. And in those days, in the military era in Nigeria, he used to kill a lot of believers. He was a fundamentalist. He never spoke English, only Arabic and Hausa, you know. And he made a statement. He said sometimes during their Friday prayer meetings, when they go to the mosque, he said they would hold meetings overnight and like, "Oh, this is how we are going to attack. We are going to attack the Christians. We are going to burn down this church. We are going to do this. We are going to do that." He said the next day, they would wake up and find that thing they discussed was in the papers, or that the policemen have been notified. And then they were always wondering, "We are not many in this group. Who are the people, you know, who is giving out this confidential information?" He said it was when he became a Christian, he realized that every time they were meeting, the Holy Spirit was there. Praise God. The Holy Spirit was there. And the Holy Spirit would go to the Christian body, the PFN and the CAN, and tell them that, "Look, they are planning to attack tomorrow. So tell your church members not to pass through the marketplace. Don't go through this area. Don't tell those living in this area to move out." There was a revelation. But you see, the foundation of revelation is the Spirit and prayer. Anybody that is even gifted in visions but is very poor or weak in the place of prayer, his vision will be limited. You know that you will not see anything, but you'll be grossly, you know, you will not be operating at your peak performance. Okay, so this is just a very clear example of prophecy and visions. All right, so this prophecy was fulfilled first in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was released upon everyone, upon those at the upper room. Okay, so please, I want you to please put this down in your notes, that these dreams, visions, and prophecies are approved manifestations from God that we must embrace. You need to put down that. Forget about those who are abusing it, but there is an authentic gift of visions, manifestations of dreams and prophecies, and God is the originator of authentic prophecy, and we are required as believers to embrace them. If you don't embrace them, you cannot walk in them. All right. The other point I want to mention here is that visions are the gateway into the supernatural realm. Visions are the gateway into the supernatural realm. So every time the Lord wants to give you access into the realm of the Spirit, He uses visions as one of those gateways where He passes you through our natural realm into the supernatural realm. And this is so true. This is so profound. Okay. I can't remember how many times I've had to, I'm always amazed. Every time, you know, you just realize that the supernatural realm is beautiful, is different. It seems like there's always some kind of upgrade going on there. Sometimes I would be in a place, maybe in a room or in a parlor, or I'll be in a particular place, and the place may have faded paint. The walls may be dirty or the paints are faded. But in the spirit, I close my eyes, I shut my eyes, and my eyes opens, and I see that same place, that location in the spirit. But I notice the paints are bright, they are new. I notice that, okay, maybe this particular chair is positioned in another location. I can see those things. I mean, I'm talking about like in 2-3 seconds, I shut my eyes and I can see that particular location in the spirit. You know, sometimes I tap myself and I ask myself, am I imagining this thing? Then I shut my eyes and I can still see it. All right, the realm of visions is very beautiful, and everybody should desire it. Okay, the scripture tells us that we are to covet earnestly the best gift. The idea of seeing some of these things let me understand that how God sees us is more important than how we see ourselves. You may be living in a one-room apartment, you may be squatting or staying with somebody, but in the realm of the spirit, you are a king. All right? Only when you gain access into the supernatural realm and see how God perceives you, then only then can you actually change your position. And that's why we are instructed to study the word of God consistently. All right. So visions are gateways into the supernatural realm. I also need to tell you that visions can be mild and they can also be intense. All right. And I need to know that, because there are some people who say, Pastor, you know, I'm not sure if I'm the one imagining these things. And, you know, I don't know if we have you ever had that experience. You saw something and you could almost, you are almost doubting. You felt you were the one imagining these things. Until later you found out that what you thought you imagined came to pass. Please, if you have had this experience, for just type yes, so that I will explain the kind of visions you are having and why that is so. All right. So you see something, you are seeing it in your mind. All right. You know, you are seeing something, but it's as though in your mind, but you're like, no, this is not God, this is not God. You just sometimes, let me give you a funny one. You just like, somebody's, you like, my husband is going to call me. You just see your phone ring and it's your husband calling you, and you are like, then in 2 minutes your husband calls. You know, it's very, so you God is already bringing you into the realm of dreams and visions. So they could be mild. So mild that sometimes you want to almost think they are not real. But believe me, they are as real as the heavenlies. Okay? The reason why you're having that confusion is because most times we have associated visions with only the spectacular. But visions don't have to be spectacular, but they definitely have to be supernatural. All right? So they can be mild, they can be intense. Now, I also want to inform you that visions are mentioned at least 64 times in the scriptures. At least. You know, we have a lot of visions in the Bible. A lot of visions. All right? So if anybody is saying, oh, it's not about seeing visions. How many of you have been to a meeting before and somebody was preaching and said, if you are still seeing visions or you are having dreams, your spiritual level is still very low. Now, if you've had that before, please just type yes, okay? Somebody told you, one powerful man of God just said, you know, that it's the revelation. I don't want to go personal, but you hear things like, oh, you know, if you are still dreaming, your level is very low. You need to come to higher levels. Are levels of maturity. Those things are wrong. They may sound very spiritual, but they are wrong. God communicates with us through dreams and visions. So please understand what I'm saying here, okay? To the purpose of dreams, what are some of the purposes of, sorry, I mean visions? To reveal what is beyond our realm. Praise God. Visions reveal what is beyond our realm to us. It brings it to us. Okay? It brings it to us. Sometimes you think you are alone in a particular challenge. Meanwhile, when God opens your eyes, you find that God is not even bothered because he has made provision for everything. Everything. God has seen the beginning from the end. Let me tell you something. When we are going to start Harvest World, all right? While we're going to start Harvest World is going to be 8 years, 1st of March. That's next month. All right? After I agreed that I was going to pastor, and I didn't want to pastor because I like my freedom. All right? I like to be able to wear, you know, trainers and, you know, half jeans, wear singlet with all this basketball singlet, and then wear your, you know, just, you won't even think I was a Christian. All right? So I just like that idea of being free, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, but I had a feeling that if I agreed to do this job, you know, I wouldn't be able to live my life the way I wanted. So I didn't want that. The second reason why I didn't want to be a pastor is because I saw some of the people I knew, some of my friends who became pastors and they almost backslided. All right. I saw them. They started preaching strange messages simply because they wanted the church to be full of people, you know. So I didn't want to, at least, even if I can't get crown in heaven, at least let me enter heaven, you know, that whole idea, you know. But I found myself, you know, when the Lord started showing me clear visions about the city of refuge, and he was asking, telling me that this is the time that he wanted me to go into the ministry. And I was, you know, I felt I was late, you know, to the ministry. Most of my friends had been in ministry for like upward of 12, 14 years. All right, all my friends that were at my level, you know, they've been pastoring for like 10, you know, 12, 10, 12, 14 years, you know. So I just felt like it didn't really make any sense. But because the Lord knew the seriousness of the matter, the Lord was only communicating with me in dreams and visions. You know, that there were prophetic experiences that I could not deny. So when you are having a vision, God is showing you what is beyond your realm, the natural realm, so that you won't doubt. All right? God is also showing you visions in order to give you the confidence that the things that you are receiving are actually from him. So you won't doubt. You won't feel some of the visions will be panoramic. They will be cinematic, as though you are like at this Galleria. You are watching like X-Men or Apocalypse. Very cinematic, you know, thing. You find yourself in the midst of some kind of intense experience. You wake up. You get up from your bed. You know that God has visited you. All right. I remember when the Lord called me to the prophetic ministry. And this was years This was years before Pastor Ayo was used by the Lord to bring me into that reality. Okay? Or this was years shortly after, I think, shortly after, because even after that experience, I didn't talk about it. It was just something I knew that was between Pastor Ayo and myself. I didn't talk about it to anybody. So it was must have been shortly after. But I had a vision, and in that vision, I saw the Lord. And the Lord told me clearly. He said, I have called you as a prophet to point men back to the true God. The Lord didn't say, I called you as a prophet to see visions for people or to tell them their problem. Those are skill sets that come with the calling. So you are not a prophet simply because you know things about. No, you are a prophet because the Lord himself called you. If the Lord himself did not call you, visited you, and called you into the ministry of the prophet, you are a prophetic person, not a prophet. To be a prophet, you must receive a call into the ministry. You must receive a call into the ministry. Otherwise, you are a prophetic person. You have prophetic giftings, but you don't have the full authority of a prophet. So, but what I was trying to say, the Lord spoke to me in a vision and said, this is the core of your prophetic ministry. Now, do I prophesy? Those who are familiar with me, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, you know, yes, they all operate. But the core, and that's why for those who really listen to my message, you will find that most of the time I'm always talking about somewhere, the will of God. You always try to determine the will of God before you do anything or take a major decision. Because what Satan will never tell you, don't serve God. But if Satan can push you to the point where you make some fundamental errors along your path, you know, then he knocks you out. He doesn't have to bother about your ministry anymore. All right? So the purpose of vision also is to help us engage the supernatural realm or the spirit realm. Okay? When you are in the spirit realm, you can communicate at that level. You can interact at that level. You can pray. You know how to pray better. You see what others cannot see. So you're able to engage properly. All right? We have some scriptures. And I don't know if I really have all the time now. We have some scriptures that tells us a bit about vision. If you read Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, the scripture says, and after this thing, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So when you're having a vision, what you are actually looking for is the word of the Lord. There are people, believers, who have visions, but they didn't come out of that vision with the word of the Lord. So if you have a vision and you missed out on the word of the Lord, then the whole experience was wasted. And what was the word of the Lord? Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. This is very, very foundational. And please, I want you to note this. Whenever you are having a vision, what you are looking for is the word. What is God saying? Don't come say, Pastor, I was flying. When I was flying, I now landed at Tokyo. Then all of a sudden, I was at Japan. Then I now saw an angel saying, come to Nigeria now, urgently, we need you. Then while I was there, and I saw the gates of Canada, it's a lie. You have been trying to go to Canada all these years. You just wanted to use the style to deceive the pastor. So our pastor will not tell you that you should not go to Canada. You please go, but I hope you know it's very cold there. Okay, that's on a lighter note. All right, so you at the end of the day, as wonderful as those experiences are, what are you looking for? The word of the Lord. What is God saying to you here? Just because you saw yourself at the altar with the lady of your dreams does not mean you are supposed to get married to her. You need to look out for the word of the Lord. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet amongst you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. God is speaking here that these are the tools of communication with which he relates with his prophetic people. He's saying he will speak to them in visions and in dreams. All right. So if you are having dreams, don't worry, it is the channel through which God communicates with many of us. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 4, the scripture says he had said, which had the words of God, which saw the visions of God, falling into a trance and having his eyes open. So this particular one talks about a trance. And you, when I get to the types of visions, this is going to come up again. All right. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. And there was no open vision. I wish I could take a moment, but we don't have time to explain what it means to minister unto the Lord. All right. So, but that word minister is very significant in the prophetic. In Job chapter 33 and verse 15, the scripture says, in a dream and in the vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in the slumberings upon the bed. So the Lord refers to prophetic dreams as visions of the night. Okay, in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 19, then thou speakest in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty and have exalted one chosen out of the people. So those are scriptures that have to do with visions. I like this particular one in Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 1. The burden of the valley of visions, glory. I normally would have these experiences about once in a year. It happens like once in a year without notice. I would just find that the next 3-4 days, back to back, I would just be in this valley of visions. Every time I shut my eyes, I would just begin to see things. I would see things that could pertain to my life or to the nation. Prophetic dreams, actually, you know, I would just see a lot of things back to back. Like, just shut the eyes, wherever, whether it's in the car or in the parlor or in the room, and I just, it's as if I'm just transported, and it could be like that for a week, then till another year. All right, so there's such a reality as the valley of visions. All right, and it's a beautiful experience if you're able to get into that. All right. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. This speaks about a dream. But again, I'm drawing your attention to the fact that prophetic dreams are part, they're in the same family of visions. All right. Now let's quickly talk about the types of visions that we have. The first one and the most common are the ones we refer to as closed visions. Closed visions or inner visions. These type of visions are visual impressions in your heart. They are visual impressions, all right? You are seeing certain things in your heart, in your mind, but they are there. You can, it's as though you are watching something play out like a movie somewhere in your mind or in your heart, but they are real. You are not imagining them. The thing is, the Holy Spirit is the one acting that script and you are looking at it. So they are visual impressions, all right? So you could, like, sometimes they feel like impressions, some other times they feel like images, sometimes they look like they are mixed. We refer to them as closed visions because they happen within you. Please note that. We refer to them as closed or inner visions because they are happening on the inside of us, all right? And the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, which also justifies why we may be having those kind of experiences. So we need, let me just quickly say this. When this begins to happen to you, okay, because a lot of us have this experience, but we get confused. Because for some of us, they are very mild. Some of us experience them as flashes. But when this begins to happen to you, don't be confused. Your mind is not playing games on you. All right. The Lord will train you to trust this experience by making those things we see come to pass, so that through this method, we can learn how to interact with the spirit realm. And please let me just explain this in 1 minute. A lot of us get confused. We get bothered. Is it me? Is it my mind? Is it God? What's happening to me? You know. We get really confused, you know. But there is, thank God for the academic background for the prophetic, but there is no better way for the Holy Spirit to teach you the prophetic than to allow you pass through it. All right? So when you start having some of these flashes, these inner images and, you know, videos playing in your heart, God will allow them to keep happening. Then you are going to move from the state of from doubt and confusion. You now begin to notice that thing I saw 3 days ago has happened. Then this other one happened. Then all of a sudden, you start trusting that gift. The moment the Holy Spirit finds that you trust your gift, it will begin to move powerfully with it. But I'm really amazed that a lot of matured Christians, people who have been born again for 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, are still not even sure if it is the Lord that is revealing these things to them. Some will even say, something told me, something showed me. It's as though people are scared of the Holy Spirit. People are afraid of who God is. You are a child of God. You should not be afraid. God is not going to kill you for what you saw because he gave it to you. All right? It's okay when you are like that as a younger Christian, but as you grow, we expect you to be able to mind this thing better. So the key here is to allow that level of interaction, because as you learn to trust it, you can begin to interact with the spirit realm. The second type of vision I want to talk about here are the ones we refer to as open visions. Now, permit me to say this concerning closed vision. Depending on your level of experience, you can become very accurate and very powerful using the closed vision. All right? Most times when I minister in a public place, these kind of visions are the things that I use. All right? Apart from my Noah, you know, this kind of closed vision. That is the only way I can be prophesying to somebody now, and all of a sudden there's somebody behind me and I can see the person without turning. All right? Because in the spirit realm, we see 360 degrees. We don't need to turn to see anything. I wish I could say it's better. Okay. You would notice the chariots of Ezekiel. Ezekiel spoke about them saying that those chariots did not need to turn anywhere because the Spirit of God was in those chariots. It's the same thing. When you hit a particular momentum in the Spirit, information comes at the speed of thought. All right? So this is very, very important. And I want you to please pay attention to. We have what we know as popularly as the open visions. Open visions are visual experiences that we have outside of our bodies. All right? This is one of the most accurate forms of visions. The accuracy level of open visions is way higher. You know, usually I will put closed visions within a level of 60% to 70%. But when someone is having an open vision, it's already moving towards 85%. All right? I'm just trying to use the percentage as a description for you to understand. All right? Because you cannot control what you see. When you're having an open vision, it's like you are watching a TV screen, all right? It's like being at the cinema and you are watching a movie, you know? This thing is happening. You are looking, you are staring into space and you are seeing something, okay? You can't shut it out. You can't stop it. It's a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. So anything you see, that is it, all right? You can't, even if you love Ronke, you cannot see Ronke in an open vision, all right? You need to understand this. You cannot see Ronke in an open vision, even if Ronke is the love of your life. Because that realm is beyond bias. The realm of open vision is beyond bias. And you need to trust God for this realm. The accuracy level is fantastic. All right? It's fantastic. All right? It's like watching the screen in front. It's a high-level prophetic operation. All right? And I wish I could. I love this particular one so much, but we have to run. All right. So we have another one. This one is not of God. We call it vain visions. All right. The Bible speaks concerning those false prophets in the Old Testament. It said they have seen a vain vision. All right. These are visions projected by the flesh or by Satan. It's just like when you go to a place and somebody sees you wearing agbada. And then they suddenly assume that you must be having lots of money. Say, there's somebody here. There's somebody here. You're a politician. I saw you in the vision. In fact, there's something some of these prophets do now. They go to Facebook. If they are coming to preach in a church, they'll go to the Facebook page, look at the pictures of the people that are being posted on the Facebook page, look at who is being tagged. Then when they come to the church on Sunday, they now say, who is Mackenzie? Who is Mackenzie? I saw you standing behind a white car. I saw you wearing white. Meanwhile, Mackenzie is wearing white on his own DP, on his own, you know, Facebook DP. And then they say, oh, you say, yes, yes, man of God. I say, Kaz. You say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The idea is that nobody expects the prophet from Nigeria to come all the way to any country, you know, like Ghana or South Africa, and begin to know who is who. But some of these people are very smart. All right. So they can just begin to play some kind of very fantastic games, and you'll be shocked. All right. And that's why, as much as possible, I try not to know too much about anybody. Because the moment I know too much about you, I won't prophesy to you again. Except the Lord just decides to help you. All right. So even though there's a way the Lord has explained how to bypass that, but generally there's a sense in which a prophet can become blind when you become familiar with him. All right. So so we have vain visions. False prophets operate through this gateway. All right. Prophets who operate who operate with this method are usually fleshly, sensual, and carnal in their prophets. They're always talking about cars, they are talking about money, they are talking about sowing a seed. There's nothing wrong with sowing a seed, but they're always talking about those things. They talk about what you ate last night. They have vain visions. They don't really address your relationship with God, your spiritual maturity, your commitment to Christ. You see, they help men get solutions. These vain visions, these vain prophets, they help men get solutions to their problem without commitment to God. This is a high-level seduction, and many Christians are already trapped here. A lot of Christians are trapped here. They just believe that, somebody said, there's a particular brother, he has I've never seen him before, but somebody referred him to me, and he's doing very well, like, in the oil and gas, you know, very, very rich, you know, oil and gas, like, maybe by now I would have bought a Land Cruiser or something, because there's a lot of money, man, you know what I'm saying? Lots of money. And the man called me and was like, oh, you know, this is his problem, blah, blah, blah. And all he just wanted was for me to be able to say, oh, this is what the Lord is saying. And I could have done that. But God did not give me any information for him. All the Lord told me to tell him is that he must be born again. But the Lord actually told me, that's the only thing tell him he must be born again. And the moment I said that, you know, the man became, if he said, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he never reached out to me again. He was very upset. You know, I knew he was upset with me. I mean, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm going to sow a seed. All right? I'm going to sow a seed. But the Lord did not tell me to pray for him. The Lord just told me to tell him he should come so that I can lead him to Christ. This is like 4 or 5 months now. I've not seen the guy. So, but if you are a vain prophet, you will begin to fall into the sin of seduction because you will be trying to get people solutions without Christ. And a lot of people, Christians, are trapped here. You will begin to hear them shouting, go deeper, man of God. Go deeper, my papa. Go deeper, major seer, captain seer. Go deeper, authentic seer. Go deeper, anonymous seer. Go deeper, general seer. When you begin to hear all these things, well, I rest my case, you know, but it is what it is. And I prophesy you, it's not as if I'm not a prophet, but I'm just telling you some of those things they are bala blue. There's nothing there, you know, there's nothing there, you know. So then we have trances. My time is up. We have trances. This is the highest accuracy level operation of visions. This type of vision, oh my God. It doesn't happen every time, but if you are lucky, you get a few. I really want to congratulate you. Trances are visions we have when our physical senses are suspended from interfering with what we are seeing. And we have a good example in Peter. The beautiful thing about trance that separates it from open visions is that in an open vision, you are seeing something. You are only seeing it you are like a viewer. You are viewing what is being shown to you, but you cannot interact. But in a trance, you can speak, you can hear, you can respond. Like Peter was talking back at God, God was talking to him. This is a high level. You know, your biases, your own bias can be reflected in a trance. You find Peter was struggling with God. He was trying to, you know, like, oh, I cannot eat this kind of meat. I cannot. Your biases will be reflected your biases will be reflected in it. If you believe that Jesus is not the only way to salvation, if you get a chance, you will display it. All right. So this kind of communication is like dreaming when you are awake. If you just imagine the way you dream, and it's like you are in the dream, you are playing a role in the dream, and you are also seeing what everybody is doing in that dream. That's exactly what a trance is, only that you are not sleeping. Is that clear to somebody? If you got that, just say yes, all right? Trance is like dreaming while you are awake. You are not sleeping, all right? But you can see everything going on. You can even see yourself. You can interact. You may even remember what you said to somebody in that experience, but you are like both observer and participant. All right? That's a very powerful level of trance, and it's a crazy level. There's quite a bit of information about that. I will skip that. How do you operate in closed vision? Number one, you have to learn how to see with the eyes of your heart. Let me just explain this because it's very basic, because I really want to help some of you here. Okay? You need to learn how to see with the eyes of your heart. Let me explain what I mean. Now, every time, oh God, when we get to the prophetic mind, I'm going to talk about this again because there's a particular topic we'll be dealing with titled The Prophetic Mind. You have to learn how to recalibrate your mind and your heart to serve the primary purpose of receiving the will of God, interpreting the will of God, and submitting to the will of God first before choosing what to eat, what to wear, who to love, where to go, how you love, you know, will, emotions, subconscious, imaginations, thoughts, all those things you use your mind for. You must take those faculties and submit them to Christ, because when you have a closed vision, those are the instruments the Holy Spirit will use to talk to you. All right? So that is the essence of that first point. You have to learn how to see with the eyes of your heart. And how do you do that? By submitting the members of your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, your subconscious, your thought patterns, you know, submit them to Christ so that they become servants of Christ. All right? And then the Holy Spirit can use them as he sees fit. Number two, you have to learn to begin to pay attention to what will you see with your spirit. If you were maybe probably in a bus, or you are just taking a stroll around your area and you just had a flash, you need to start learning to pay attention. Your first response should not be, oh, this thing again, this thing. Only God knows what this is all about. No, your first attention is God is trying to get my attention. By the time you now begin to proof or check what you have seen in a minute or in a second, you can now begin to say, oh, this is probably what the Lord is saying, and this is probably what is not saying. All right? Now, you also need to understand that this type of vision may begin to operate or become more intense in moments of prayers, worship, and fellowship. Please, I want to say this because sometimes people don't know that all these kind of things have triggers. There are certain things that can trigger the operation. Oh my God, and I think my time is up now. Closed visions, they respond to certain atmospheres. That's why you notice that anytime you are under some kind of intense worship and intense experience, you see it's easier to hear God or to see visions, you know. And that's why I want to, well, some people don't like it, but I'll still say, you know, you have to be very sensitive to the kind of music you listen to. All right. Even in your church, just because a song has Jesus in it, it doesn't mean it's spiritual. All right. Especially if you are called to the prophetic, your songs must be triggers. The songs you listen to, you know, must be able to trigger you push you into the presence of God. Not just because people, you know, don't take this as a doctrine. All right. But I'm just telling you, based on what, there are some songs that will help you get into God's presence more than others. Some just help you dance to music, the trending dance steps, and stay away from those kind of things. focus on songs of the holiest of all, those songs that come from the holiest of all and the holy place. Don't follow songs that are from the outer court. Many of our music ministers are operating from the outer court. So you can, as far as I'm concerned, they are just entertainers, Christian entertainers. But I'm saying for you who wants to have an encounter with God, be deliberate about your environment, the kind of music you listen to, the kind of songs you have in your, on your phone, on your, you know, iPad and all of that. So those are things that can help you maintain the kind. So you have to be deliberate. It's not that you are judging anybody, but for you, you just can't do every song. All right? You just can't do every song. Because I know, look at Elisha. He could not hear God at a particular time, and they had to get him a worship leader, a music minister, who was able to guide him. All right? Can you imagine a man with a double portion? A minister had to guide him with music. And then we allow some of all these people who have Celine Dion as their mentor and now some of these other strange people who are not even born again. All right? And you say you are doing voice training or something. Hey, I rest my case. Those who need to hear it will hear it. All right? So you need to understand that a powerful atmosphere can trigger visions. A powerful atmosphere. And that's why I tell people, when you want to pray, stop praying as if you are talking to God in a love language. Pray with intensity, even if you are not speaking loudly, but let there be intentionality. Let there be some form of intensity, because strong atmospheres can trigger visions. Then also, to operate in close visions, you must resist the pressure to step out in the flesh. Sometimes you are in meetings with some of your friends, and everybody is saying, oh, the Lord is saying, the Lord is saying. Sometimes some of those things are really just, you know, bad and blue. There's really nothing to it. It's just people trying to say, I mean, I will three out of four of us, three people will say, God told them, go to me. I will keep quiet. I will say something now. I will say, God say he has blessed all of us. Meanwhile, maybe God is not even saying anything, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, what's wrong with that kind of, God, are we not here to be blessed? For Christ's sake, all right? So just try to get it, all right? Resist the temptation to step out in the flesh. Always double check. The moment the Lord is putting an impression in your heart, always double check. Don't just go out and begin to point fingers at people. Double check to be sure that is this thing is coming, you know, from the Lord. All right? Continually ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in this experience, because it's very easy when operating a close vision to operate in the flesh. So you must always, don't just say, oh, I've done it before. No, always ask the Holy Spirit. Submit yourself. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me. I'm going to minister. I don't want to give somebody a wrong prophetic word. You know, guide me, speak to me, take over my mind, take over my vocal cords. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Another point is yielding your heart and mind. You know, two different things. Yielding your heart, that's your spirit, and your mind, which is your soul, to the Holy Spirit. This constantly. This is very important, because this type of close vision, it operates by engaging your mind. It operates by engaging your soul. All right. So these things are very important. If your mind is filthy, that becomes a problem, and your bias can influence what you see or how you interpret what you see. Then finally, I've said this before, but it's very key to this process. You must have personal consecration. Number one, praying in a focused way and more intensely. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Number three, living your life with Christ as the center. Not just because people are doing this. Everybody's running to Jamaica. Then carry your bag. You're going to Jamaica. No, you as a prophetic person, you need to be sure you have the permission of the Holy Spirit before you do anything. Number four here is that you have to guide your heart with all diligence. Number five here is fellowshipping with prophets will definitely enhance your gift. Fellowshipping with prophets or prophetically gifted people will enhance your, because as you engage with them, you are going to experience their gift. It will also strengthen your gift, and you in fact, I can tell you are going to grow, you know, faster than if you try to do this on your own. So I'm going to drop the ball here. And I do hope you have been blessed and you've learned something very powerful about dreams. God bless you.